Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. All right. I want us to do. Let's go to the book of Psalm 32. Psalm 32, verses 7 and 8. I'm going to do you a favor. I'm going to please rise from where you are. I'm going to look for somebody. And you're going to prophesy to the life of that person this morning. I'm going to pray with somebody. Psalm 32, verses 7 and 8. We're going to read it now, and then please go to someone, and then you're going to minister to that person. It says, "You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance." And then God is saying, "I will instruct you and teach you. And the way you should go, I will guide you with my eye." Hallelujah. Amen. So please, can we do that? Just leave your seat, go to somebody, and we're going to pray that into the life of your brother and sister this morning. Let's do that in 2-3 minutes, please. That God is your hiding place. Is the preserver, is going to preserve you from anything called trouble. God will preserve you from anything called trouble. He will surround you with songs of deliverance. He will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. The Lord will guide you with his eye. He will guide you with his eye. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Yes, you have it. Glory to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Lord, your hiding place, you shall preserve your sons and daughters from trouble. You surround us, surround your people, your sons of deliverance. You will instruct us, instruct your son and daughter, teach us your way. Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. So shall it be in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And welcome again to the house of the Lord this morning. And the house of our Father. So let's pray for it. Amen. Once again, we're looking up to the Lord to break his word into our hearts. Go beyond words a man can explain. Right, this morning, the Lord ministering to us, and we're going to look at Jesus Christ with three titles or appellation. Jesus Christ as the shepherd, he is a warrior, and he is the coming king. Amen. He is a shepherd, he is the sheep shepherd. He is a warrior, a man of war. And he's coming, the soon coming king. Hallelujah. Amen. So these three titles or appellation describe who Jesus Christ is. It's more than that, but just looking at these three. He is the lion and the lamb. Amen. Amen. Jesus is the sheep shepherd, the mighty man of war, and the soon coming king. In Psalm 23, which I believe most of us who have known that, right? Psalm 23 is the first thing we learn when we become a Christian. The Lord is my shepherd, right? Psalm 23 verses 1 to 6. I know Some people can read it just like that without looking to the Bible. Amen. We want to see Jesus right here in Psalm 23 as the Jesus, the leading shepherd. Jesus, the leading shepherd. It says from verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell where? In the house of the Lord forever. Amen. So the first thing we see there in verses 1 to 2 is talking about provision. Now, Jesus being the sheep shepherd, just like the ordinary shepherd, right? The ordinary shepherd leads the sheep. Every day he does that. He leads the sheep to a place that is well, greenish, prepared for the sheep to graze on. Jesus, the first thing we see there is the provision. This time around, it's not just the physical provision, it's the provision for the body, the soul, and the spirit. Jesus is the shepherd, and his goal is to get the whole man, the totality of man, to nurture you as a man, a woman, that will be full grown in him. He provides all that is needed for us, for you to grow, not only to have the physical things, the food, the nutrition, the house and everything, but it goes beyond that. He looks straight into your soul, into my soul, and provides those things that are necessary as we hear to him. He provides all that is necessary for our spirit man to grow, to be like him. So he's the one that leads, and his goal is to feed us fat. Spiritually, is to give us all that we need to be like him. And on a daily basis, we want to be the leader. On a daily basis, we want to go ahead. Any sheep that runs ahead of the shepherd is going to miss the way. It's going to become a prayer. The shepherd must lead the way and the sheep follows. Jesus is the one leading, and he wants every one of us to follow. And as you follow, be sure that all that you need, the Bible says, all that is needed for life and for godliness have been provided in Christ Jesus. So the goal of the shepherd, the sheep shepherd, is leading you to a place where you can prosper spiritually. That's 3 John verse 2. We know it so much. The Lord that which above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, how? As your soul prospers. So prosperity is not lopsided, it's not one side. It is the prosperity of the soul. The spirit man connects with his maker. And that brings about the totality of the blessing for the man. So Jesus, the shepherd that leads, he wants us to be connected with him. He said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It's not just the daily bread. I will not lack all that is necessary for my growth because they are provided in the world. I will not lack his leadership as I surrender to him. I will not lack his protection because he's always there. As we allow him to be the one that goes ahead because he knows what is there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verses 2 and 3, it talks about restoration, right? He is the one leading and, his goal. He knows, just like the shepherd, the physical shepherd, sometimes the sheep goes, to a certain place and they are wounded or something happens. The shepherd carries the sheep, nurtures the sheep, nurses the sheep, takes care of the sheep until the sheep heals. So Jesus, he is the leading shepherd bringing restoration to our souls. Oftentimes, just like human beings, you overwork yourself and you just find that you are tired. that you need to be revitalized, right? Physically. Right? We go beyond taking water, we take real food, we take sometimes we take vitamins, right? Because we want the body to be built back again. Jesus brings that spiritual vitality. He is the water of life. He is the living water. In John chapter 7, verse 37 to 38, the scripture says, on the last day of the great feast, Jesus stood up in their midst and he cried, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me. Whoever thirst, according to the scripture, out of his innermost heart shall flow what? Rivers of living water." Rivers. Of the Lord. So Jesus is the one that brings that restoration. He's the one that we need to drink spiritually, to be revitalized, to be quickened. I don't know how you are journeying. I don't know in the course of journeying on this path. Maybe you are weary. Maybe you are tired. Maybe you are confused. He can revitalize you this morning. Maybe you are tired of everything. Lord, I don't understand. Why is it just zigzag? He can bring about all the calmness, all the vitalization that you need today, and because he is the living water, as you drink that water fresh, it's going to have way in your life and it's going to strengthen you. You're just going to find the life bubbling in you, and you're going to see the reason to live today for his glory. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus came to that woman at the well, John chapter 4. Came to that woman. Because of that woman, Jesus had to pass through Samaria. They were going somewhere. But Jesus saw a soul that was thirsty, dry, isolated, dejected, rejected, and needed life. She didn't know what life was. She thought it's like jumping from one man to the other. So she came to the well, and Jesus knew this is the time to meet such a woman. So she passed through Samaria, John chapter 4. And Jesus asked her, "Give me water to drink." You know the story, right? And the woman said, "I can see your dressing, your scent, everything talks about you. You are a Jew. And why are you asking me? Samaritan. Water. You don't have anything to do with us." You know the story. And Jesus said in verse 10 of that John chapter 4, if you know the one that is asking you for water, you would have quickly done that. Because if you have done that, it will give you living water. So Jesus is that living water. So if there is living water, it means there is dead water. Right? Whatever is outside Jesus, people are consuming today. Anything outside Jesus, outside the provision of God, is breaking dead. Deadness. That is why the system, everything we want today is breaking, is crazy, and is breaking nothing. No, it's opposite of life. And people are consuming it. The social, whatever we find today, civilization, every new thing that is happening, technology, everything. And we are just, consuming everything. And the moment we are consuming all these things provided, they do not give us life. Instead, they are drying us. Drying life, snatching life out of men. The only one that has life is he who is the water of life, the living water. Hallelujah. Are you thirsty? Are you weary? This morning you can drink. You can tell him, "Lord, I'm thirsty. I'm thirsty. I need you. I want to abandon my wisdom. All I know I can do. Jesus, I just need you in my life." Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Okay, back to that, you're still looking at Jesus, the living shepherd. Back to that, Psalm 23. The next thing you see there is, it says, "He leads me beside the still waters." Yeah. "He restores my soul." Yeah. "He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." He leads me in the path of what? Righteousness for his name's sake. As the Lord was ministering to me this morning, you see, there is a path that this shepherd wants to lead men. And as long as they allow him and they follow, what happens? They will get to experience the righteousness that he provides. Look at it from the physical. A shepherd goes before The sheep, okay, the one I know very well is in Africa, right? When those people that are leading, I mean, the shepherd in Nigeria, they lead their sheep from north, from Kano. They have a path they pass every year. They go through that path. It's a routine. They go through that path all the way from Kano, from the north to the south. And as they are going and the sheep is following them, they graze. They graze. They don't graze the same place because yesterday they grazed there. The pasture is done. It's going to take time for that pasture to grow up. There's a new pasture. As we progressively follow Jesus in obedience, you'll find new pastures every day.
Amen.
Every day.
Amen.
Not yesterday, not stealing food. A new one today. And apart from that, the only path the shepherd will lead you is the path of righteousness. Is the path of righteousness. Where the generation today, what you are seeing today in this end time, people want to enjoy their life, they want to do their thing in their own way. So righteousness is something, you know, is what the world doesn't want to embrace. And the only thing God has is a righteous path. It talks about purity, it talks about godliness, it talks about the fear of God, it talks about obedience, it talks about walking faithfully before the Lord. That is the path. But people want to follow other paths. And that's why he's saying, the psalmist is saying, look, he leads me, where? He leads me in the paths of righteousness. That is the only path that is available. And for his name's sake, he's doing that. Brethren, Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6 says, all our righteousness. Can we put it on board? Isaiah 64, 6 says, all our righteousness is like filthy rats. No matter how good we are, no matter how churchy we look like, no matter how big our Bible looks like, no matter how many good things we have done without Christ, all those good things, they are like filthy rats. He has a righteousness that he wants to impart you with. He wants to give you his own righteousness. Don't forget, he's the leader, he's the one going before you, and as you allow him, he's going to impart you with his own righteousness. He's going to put upon you a garment of righteousness. Romans chapter 5 verse 1 says, being justified. Can we read that? Romans 5, 1 and 21. Romans 5, 1 and 21. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. But we say, through whom also we have access. Everybody say access. Access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And verse 21 says, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through what? Righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Only by righteousness. And he's saying, even that is by him, for his name's sake. For his name's sake. Hallelujah. You remember the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, after they have disobeyed God, right? And then they went and sewed their fig leaves to cover themselves. God saw them and said, wow, try to hide yourself, try to cover yourself. This is good. That is, the fig tree is good, but it's not good enough. So they go for a day. So they go for a day. Because when the sun rises and the sun beats, it's going to dry off. You need another one tomorrow. So let me cover you with the everlasting covering. The blood was needed. That was his righteousness.
Hallelujah.
Pointing to Jesus. That the Lamb of God will be slain, and his blood is what is needed, not the fig tree, not the fig leaves. And whatever we do today, whatever people are doing today, is like fig leaves. Only good for now, for today. Not good for tomorrow. It cannot stand the test of time. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
back to our text then. Psalm 23. What says the next verse? Hallelujah. Are you with me?
Yes.
He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. There is always, in the course of our journey, we always come to the valley. There is always a valley. Alright? And the valley, now he's talking about, there is a dark valley of life. There is a time you come to a dark valley of life. On this side is hill, on the other side is hill, but you are in a valley. And I'm in a valley. And that valley is dark. But he says something. He is the leader, don't forget, is the shepherd. He will provide light even in the dark valley of life. Let us read the scripture, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18. Proverbs 4, 18. Put your finger on that test. I'm going through, come there until you finish that part. Proverbs 4, 18. Do we have it on the board? On the screen? Proverbs 4, 18. Do we have it? But the path of the just is what? It's as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Because it's the one going before you, and when you come to that dark valley where there is no light, because the one leading, it provides the light. In that dark valley, it shines. Hallelujah. It will not leave you because it's the great shepherd. It shines the light for you to see, and your path will be lightened. So that you will not walk in darkness. Hallelujah. Is the light and the dark valley of life. What valley are you in this morning? What valley are you in? There are so many kind of valley. It could be valley of sickness, fear, rejection, loneliness. It could be a fear of the future. A fear of, hey, Lord, when will I have my partner? How is it going, Lord? It could be anxiety, it could be anything, it could be any kind of valley. It's going to throw light on your path. Amen. It's not going to leave you there because the great shepherd, he cares for not just your physical well-being, he cares for your soul, he cares for your spirit, the totality of who you are. He wants to make sure that you make it to heaven. For that purpose, Jesus died. So he doesn't do half-assed job. He has not saved you to abandon, he has saved you to keep saving you and save you to the end. And he's providing all you need step by step as you allow him. He is leading as you follow. Don't run ahead of him. Hallelujah. Whatever the situation, whatever the valley, it's going to throw light and the light will shine on your path. Like we have done in the body administration, that's Psalm 32 verse 8. Is going to be the one that will do what? That will help you, will go before you, it will not leave you without fulfilling his purpose. He said, I will instruct you and teach you the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Hallelujah. The last thing there, as the leading shepherd, he has a banqueting table. He has a banqueting table for you. See, after all the running up and down and everything, what a shepherd, what they do physically, they do not only lead the sheep everywhere through danger, through all the hazard and everything, they bring them to a place where they stop and the sheep rests in the comfort and the presence of the shepherd, having the rod and the staff. Whoever come before you, there's a rod. And if there's any error, the sheep falls into the pit, there is a staff to lead that sheep out. Hallelujah. God wants to comfort his children. At last, he wants to bring you to a banqueting table where you feast with him. Not only when we get to heaven, but even beginning from here. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. God wants to prepare a table before you. As you allow him, the path is leading you. at last will lead you to a place where you will experience his comfort. You experience his peace, his tranquility. You will experience his comforting voice. You will know of a sure that he has not led you astray. Of course, he will never do that. To God be the glory. There is a banqueting table. As verses 5 and 6, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. And he declares, goodness and mercy shall follow me. As you pursue the Lord, goodness and mercy will pursue you all the days of your life, in Jesus' mighty name. That banqueting table is also talking about a time of honor and celebration. It's talking about a time of honor. God is going to bring you. I don't know what you have gone through. I don't know what you are going through. I don't know the hurdles of life, the valleys that you have gone through, but God is saying to you through his word this morning, you are coming to a place where God will honor you and people will know you have not served God in vain. You have not followed in vain. You did not miss it when you said yes, Jesus. You did not miss it when you said, Lord, I will serve you. You did not miss it when you decided to live holy. No. It's going to bring you to a place of honor. And people will do what? According to Psalm 126, when the Lord brought back the captives of Zion, we were like those who dream dreams. We were the first to acclimate. We were the first to respond. Then the heathen said, what? The Lord has done great things for them. The first people, because they have been looking at you, he left us. Let's see how far he can go. She left us. She's no more going for party and all this. Well, let's see how far she's going to make it. They are watching you every day. She will soon give up. She will soon fall. Everything will soon fall apart. And behold, nothing fell apart. And you keep on following. And the Lord now brings you to a place where God begins to celebrate you. They will be the first to say, hey, God has done something great. Oh yeah, we can see you, young man, young sister. God is bringing you to a place where your enemies were expecting the downfall. You now begin to see the hand of God in your life. There's going to be a testimony of the goodness of God. Hallelujah. And of course, there's a banquet table being prepared in heaven. Revelation 19:9. There's going to be a time when all believers, those who have been born again, who have kept their position, who have not compromised, who do not soil their garment with the things of this world, who do not compromise because of a day's enjoyment, who stood for God righteously, serving the Lord, and of course by his mercy, on that day there's going to be a gathering in heaven. I want to be there. I want to see you there. I want to see you there. All of us shall be there. But do what is needed. Make sure it's the one leading you. Hallelujah. That is Jesus, the leading shepherd. That's Jesus, the conquering warrior. Jesus, the conquering warrior. Exodus chapter 15, verse 3. What does it say? It says, Jesus, God Almighty, is a man of war. Exodus. Yes, let us put it on the screen. Exodus chapter 15, verse 3. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Amen.
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 Amen. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord that you are serving, the Lord that you are following is not a weak God. It's a God that the God of the Philistines bowed to, Dagon. Alright? They thought, oh, we captured their God. Even in the weakness of the nation of Israel, God still will show the fact that I have mercy on whom I will have mercy on. And their God have to bow to the living God. Whatever the battles you are fighting today, brethren, I want us to be assured of this. To say that God is a man of war, is a conquering warrior, doesn't mean we should sit down and do nothing. He is fighting, he is leading. If that tells you, you are in the warfare, and in the warfare. Hello, somebody? Hello, somebody? Pastor once said here, don't forget. You know, we have to grow beyond our diaper. go beyond wearing diapers. God wants us to be adults, grown-ups. All right, Isaiah 42, let's look at that also. Isaiah 42, verse 13. Isaiah 42, 13. What does it say? Isaiah 42, 13. Isaiah 42, 13. Okay. The Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry, yea, roar. He shall cry, yea, roar. He shall prevail against his enemies. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, and that's what we are treating in our own fellowship. Okay? Carrying the whole hammer. The hammer of God. That tells us. Believers, we are in warfare. Believers, we have just one enemy we are fighting. That is the devil. And he has all his cohorts. According to that, Ephesians 6, 10 to 13, no time to read all. Say, we are fighting against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this age, spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. And what are they doing? All they are doing and they are converging every day, every time to do is to see how they stop you and myself from progressing spiritually. They want to do everything to make sure that no believer gets to heaven. They know they can't win the battle if they face you directly. So they have their own tactics. They know some things you like, some things I like. Right? Things that we like baits that will draw us away, take our attention away from the Lord, and then we begin to look at the baits. It could be pornography, it could be jealousy, it could be anger, fighting, it could be those things in our flesh. Alright? And they are implanted there, and we are not taking time to fight them, to fight and say, Lord, this is part of me, I don't want it. I don't want this anger. I don't want this thing fighting against me. Because if you don't get rid of them, they're going to get rid of you. If you don't fight, they are fighting every day, 24/7. And what a privilege we have as children of God. Somebody might say, well, you know what? I don't know what is really happening. When I kneel down, I want to pray and doze off. And I take my Bible, I'm reading three verses, and I want to read 10 chapters, 3 verses. Here am I dozing. What a great privilege we have in this house to pray. Hallelujah. You can join us in the evening, 7 p.m. Pray. And you might say, well, I don't even know how to pray. This is how we learn how to pray. You'll be among those who are praying, then you learn how to pray. Yeah. Hello, somebody. Yeah. Amen? Amen. That is how to pray. That's how you learn how to pray. You want to learn how to pray? Don't stay out of the congregation. Those who are praying, be among them. You will learn how to pray. Yeah. You want to fight a battle? You know, we can't fight alone. Be among those who are fighting, who are warring spiritually. And you'll find that the iron there will sharpen your iron, will never remain the same.
Amen.
Because we are not meant to fight the battles alone.
Amen.
Though he is the conquering warrior, is the captain of the host, is the one going before us, but he's not telling us to be idle.
Amen.
He's telling us to fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life.
Mm.
So, brethren, there is no room for laziness this end time. A lot of things is happening. There's no room for laziness. There's no room for procrastination. There's no room for idleness. Sometimes we say, well, I don't think I can be coming every day to church. You may not come every day. But choose some days you have to be. So that your life will be quickened. So that you'll be energized. You know why? You have to discipline yourself to do it. If you don't, the flesh will just say, thank God. You may not say thank God. Your flesh will just say, well, that is what I want. And just do those things. Just enjoy yourself. You know, keep watching TV 9 hours, 10 hours. Go to clubs. Do all those things. All right? Your flesh will just like it. He knows that that is the pathway off the route. He leads me the path of righteousness that is off that route. And if we are not praying, we are doing something else. If you are not praying, you are not worrying. May the Lord help us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
All these wickedness, powers of darkness, the world today that we see, they are fighting against destinies. They are fighting against destinies, and they want to weaken destinies. They want to promote their wickedness. And there is something that links up people easily. That is the foundation of wickedness. And then the bloodline iniquity. I'm saying this because you don't discover that there are some things that is inherent in your lineage, in my lineage. For example, let me tell you one about me. In my lineage, I discovered well enough when I was young, I was newly born again, and I decided I would not do what they are doing. I don't discover that in my lineage, all the male, they marry the dog, they marry the dog. They married the dog, and then some will marry 2, 3, 4 wives. My father was a polygamist. All his brothers, all of them were polygamists. Hello, somebody? I'm using myself for you to know what I'm talking about. Things you have to fight that came as a result of your lineage. It's a battle you must fight. What is it that is inherent in your lineage that the enemy is making use of? Is it that all the male, you know, gets something like that, you know, the marry, the dump, or all the female never get husband, or all the females until they are like, you know, advanced in age, they don't get a man. Whatever it is, these are some of the things that the enemy will hook up with, will make, you know, you to be linked with. It's a battle. You have to fight it out through the blood of the Lamb. Amen?
Amen.
You must fight it out. How? Confession, repentance, and cleansing in the blood. You must tell him, you must rely upon Jesus, you must begin to renounce all those things you inherited as a result of your bloodline. It's a battle you must fight. It's a battle you must renounce. I mean, those things you inherited, you must renounce. And the Lord will give you victory.
Amen.
Don't forget you have the conquering warrior. When you cry unto him, he comes to your rescue. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
In Joshua chapter 5, verse 14, the Philistines were encouraging themselves when they were in battle with the children of Israel. They told themselves, quit you like men, fight. You know why you have to fight? So that you don't become slaves to Israelites, to the Hebrews. Just as they are slaves to us, they are fighting for their freedom. You now fight so that you don't become their slaves. Brethren, fight so that you don't become slaves of our bodies, of, you know, pornography, of whatever it is that the enemy is using to hook you, to hook me, to slow us down. You must fight for the blood. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Fight for your destiny. Fight for the destiny of your family. Fight for your community. Fight for the nation. Fight for the world. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Our voices have come down. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. I'm fighting mine, so you have to fight yours. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Okay? The last one, Jesus, the soon coming glorious King. Jesus, the coming glorious King. In Revelation chapter 17, verse 14, the Bible says that Jesus, he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. In Acts chapter 1, when Jesus was talking with the disciples before his ascension, as he was talking to them, encouraging them, behold, he was taken. And he ascended to heaven. And while the disciples were gazing, two men appeared to them. And these are angels who told them, men, why are you gazing up into heaven? That same Jesus that you see going up is going to come back. He's going to come back the same way. He left. You saw him going literally. He's going to come back literally. Hallelujah. He left as if, don't forget, as a lamb. He had to die. He was crucified. He was buried. The third day, he resurrected. It's like the Messiah was conquered, because that was not the expectation. But he left in order to come back as the king, as the lion, coming to rule with higher rod. To God be the glory. In Matthew chapter 24, let's see that. Matthew 24, from verse 19 to 31. Matthew 24, 19 to 31. Matthew 24, 19 to 31. Sorry. Matthew 24, 29 to 31. Sorry. 29 to 31. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and a great glory. 31. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Verse 44. Let me read from 43. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allow his house to be broken into. Take time to read the other verses. Verse 44 says, therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Jesus is coming at an hour you do not expect. He's going to come suddenly. We take time to read Matthew 24, 25. You see everything, all that Jesus gave us, the happenings. What will be happening before his coming? We're already having them. Having pestilences, all kinds of diseases we never had before. I think what we had in year 2020 here, COVID, was never mentioned. I don't know, at least to my knowledge, I don't think there's any record of COVID before that time. Maybe it's being called a different name. And that COVID had not shaken the world the way it did. That the entire world, all right, shut down. Government, powers, entities, shut down. And up till now, some are still recovering. God is just giving a sign. One of these are pestilences. That is one of it. And one thing we hear so much today that it wasn't all that common some 10, 20, 30 years ago, is the word cancer. Where is it coming from? And you will see people who are even doing exercise and eating right. They still have cancer. What is happening? The devil is a liar. Everybody say the devil is a liar. God is using all that to tell us signs. If you are looking for signs, you have them already. Wars, you don't have to be told. How many nations are fighting now? See, billions of dollars being spent. Billions, if it's not going to trillions. And what are the money meant for? How to ruin lives? How to destroy them? Let's learn the tactics of destroying lives. Making millions to live in abject poverty. They now become refugees. No home, no nothing. I was looking at pictures, is the news. Not just news that came to my phone about those who were displaced because of the war in Gaza. How the rain that fell for several days, even the makeshift that they had, everything flooded. and has wondered, Lord, how would they cook? How would they eat? How would they lie down? For this, he's just telling us, the word is not fit. The person of the word is not fit for habitation. We need our home. We need Jesus to come back. But it's not going to come back until you have done your job. Until I've done my own work. Hallelujah. There are millions of souls that need to be saved. There are millions of souls that need to be delivered. That need to hear. The way out is Jesus. The way of escape is Jesus. He loves you. He died for you. And somebody must say that. And that must be you and myself. Hallelujah. If you cannot go, somebody will go. You can send somebody by prayer. You can send somebody by, you know, giving your support, financial support. Where you cannot get to, your prayers can get there. Your money can get there. The world needs to hear. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 So, Jesus is coming back. Jude chapter 1. It's only one chapter anyway. Verses 14 to 15. What does it say? It's talking about the Lord will come with 10,000 and thousands of his angels. What's he coming to do? It's coming to reign. It's coming to reign. Jesus is coming back and he's coming to reign. Hallelujah. He's coming to take over the reign of the world, the government of the world, the entire world. Please put it there, Jude. Jude 1 verses 14 to 15, so this is one chapter. And I'll just go through the 4 points I have here. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of thee, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. Hallelujah. He's coming back. He's coming back to establish a literal kingdom. Jesus is coming back to establish his kingdom in this present world. America will still be called America. Africa will still be Africa. Alright? All the system that we have here today will still be there. And is coming to show the real government. Government without war, without pestilence, without fright, without sickness. Hallelujah. He's coming to establish his kingdom. Just write the scripture down because of time. Revelation 24 to 6. He's coming to establish a literal government. He will reign on earth for 1,000 years. And after that 1,000 years, there will be the second thing I want to mention now. He's coming to judge evil and unbelievers. After that 1,000 years, all the unbelievers that have ever died, buried, right from the Garden of Eden, if there's anyone, maybe if Cain did not repent, praise the Lord, to the last unbeliever that dies, or those ones that will be alive when he comes back, they're all going to stand before the white judgment throne. That is the judgment. And what is the judgment? It's not going to say, well, you were going to church, your name is Adam. Oh yeah, good. You tried, okay, out of 100, you made 70, I think you passed. That's not going to be. God is not going to mark people's card or register. The only thing is, did you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? My only son that I sent, did you believe in him? Did you accept the offer, his sacrifice on the cross? Yes or no? And of course, everyone standing before him at that time are those who rejected Christ, are those who did not have the mercy of God. So they must stand first, because the Bible says every knee must bow and every tongue must do what? Confess that Jesus is the Lord. So they must do that. That name, the bowing of the name, because they did not accept Jesus then, and the mercy of God that was offered to them, you know, right now in the judgment, white throne judgment of God, they are going to bend their knee. And then they are going to confess, Jesus is the Lord. And then thereafter, sentenced to eternal condemnation. Every one of them, that should send a message to us. And we should pray and walk and trust God that none of our family members, none of our people living among us, I mean, our community, should be part of it. Hello, somebody? Revelation 20, 11 to 15. It's coming to judge unbelievers. Number three, it's coming for believers to have rest. You and myself to have rest. Rest from our labor. Let's read that. Wow, that's beautiful. Revelation 14, verse 13. Jesus is coming back so that we will rest from our labor. The word labor is different from what it used to be when God gave the command to Adam to take care of the garden. God did not say labor in the garden. There was no, that word labor didn't come up until the fall of man. Because laboring has to do with sin. Sin attached to it. Laboring under sin, under the yoke. So, Revelation 14, 13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. From henceforth, ye see the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works to follow them. The last point is coming. We ought to be ready. Let's read that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 6. As we pray. 1 Thessalonians 5:6. What does it say? Brethren, we need to be ready. Brethren, we need to be ready, because anytime from now there will be rapture. We're studying in the Bible study the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord. To the people then in Jewish time, God was talking to them that a day of judgment is coming. And the day of the Lord could also be not only for a nation, it could be for a community, it could be for a family, it could be for an individual. When somebody sleeps and doesn't wake up, that is his own day of the Lord. When somebody is journeying and then, there's a crash and he's gone, that is his own day of the Lord. So the day of the Lord can come anytime. So we need to be ready. What says 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 6, therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Let's watch and be sober. Shall be serious. How ready are you? How ready am I? You have seen the title of Jesus. Yes, he's the great shepherd. He's going ahead of us. As we follow him, we'll be sure of victory. We'll be sure that he will lead you to the place where you'll be honored. God will not give you, prepare a table before you are not in that table. God wants you to be celebrated at last. God wants you to be part of the banquet here and banquet in heaven. And that he is the conquering king, he is the conquering warrior. Every battle, known and unknown, that is submitted to you, fight for you. There are battles we must fight on our knees. There are battles we must fight as we wait on the Lord. There are battles we must reject. There are things that came as a result of where we came from. We must fight and cut it off. The umbilical cord that attached to us must be cut off. By prayer, by the word of God. And you keep on resisting. You keep on saying, no. I take the inheritance of the Lord. I stand for God. The blood of Jesus cleanses me. And lastly, he is the coming king. He is the soon coming king. We want to reign with him. Shall we pray? Just talk to you in a few minutes as we're running. Talk to him and say, Lord, I don't want to miss it. Help me to be prepared. What are those things that I need to cut off? What are those things that are worrying inside of me, worrying against me, against my destiny? What are those things that the enemy is using to weaken me, to hinder destiny? What are those things that the enemy is using against my family, against my home? Lord, I'm in the battle, but Lord, you are my battle axe. I didn't quote that scripture in Jeremiah chapter 51. Say, you are my battle axe. With you, with you I will win, with you I win, with you I subdue nations. You are my battle axe. As you stand for God, you become a battle axe in the hand of the Lord to subdue what God has not allowed. And the enemy is trying to portray it, he's trying to build it, he's trying to bring you to a place where it thinks it can win. But the blood speaks for you. Father, we thank you. We bless your name. Take all the glory, take all the honor. Keep speaking to us. Keep walking with us. Keep preparing us. that light shine on our parts, on the part of your children. Lord God Almighty, let it keep on shining brighter and brighter and brighter, even in the valley, Lord, in that valley of life. Let that light shine. Let it shine until the great day.